From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, May 27th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listener support and by Modern Pest Services, committed to taking an intelligent approach to pest control. Learn more at modernpest.com. And by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
I'm Ed Morin with this check of Maine news. Beaches in the towns of Scarborough and Old Orchard Beach will be open for recreation, not just for walking, as of today. That's a change from a walking-only rule the towns had put into place to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. On their websites, both towns are asking people to practice social distancing and limit the size of their gatherings in line with state guidance. But Old Orchard Beach Town Manager Larry Mead says given the size of the beach there and the number of entrances, enforcing those restrictions is both impracticable and, he hopes, unnecessary.
So there's a lot of room for people, but it's also a very significant challenge for us to enforce any kind of restrictions because of just the number of entry points that there are.
Mead says it's not clear what the towns will do if people don't adhere to the town's requests. The Maine Department of Labor has identified and canceled some 2,200 unemployment claims determined to be fraudulent as the state's unemployment program has been expanded during the pandemic. The department says Maine, like many other states, is seeing an increase in cases of imposter fraud over the past 2 months in which a person's personally identifiable information, or PII, is stolen and used illegally to apply for unemployment benefits. Maine Governor Janet Mills says the imposter fraud schemes are part of a nationwide effort by organized crime.
We estimate we've gotten about 1,000 reports of unemployment imposter fraud. They appear to be similar in nature, a widespread scheme that is identical to those schemes in other states.
The department says it's putting a 48-hour hold on benefits this week to allow it to remove suspected fraudulent claims. It's also reinstating its normal 10 to 14-day processing time for initial unemployment claims, which had been reduced to 7 days to deal with COVID-19-related demands. MDUL says is working in close collaboration with state and federal law enforcement and regulatory agencies to investigate the alleged illegal activity. In the weather, tonight fog returns down east, lows generally 60 to 65, with upper 50s down east, a bit cooler tomorrow, with a blend of sun and cloud statewide. It will be a bit sticky, isolated afternoon showers in the north. I'm Ed Morin. This is Maine Public Radio. Citing a spike in COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations, Maine Governor Janet Mills announced today that she's postponing the reopening of indoor restaurant service in the state's three most populous counties. It's a setback for restaurant owners in York, Cumberland, and Androscoggin counties, some of whom had been hoping for a partial reopening on Monday. Steve Missler has more.
Wednesday's statewide COVID-19 case count dipped by 13, marking just the second decline in a little over a week. But that sliver of positive news was overshadowed by trends in York, Cumberland, and Androscoggin counties, where case counts continue to increase, along with hospitalizations. All told, the three counties represent 80% of the total cases in Maine, and most of its active cases. More alarming, though, is an uptake in the hospitalization rate, an important metric in tracking containment of the virus.
In light of those trends, today, my administration is postponing the reopening of restaurants for dine-in service for those three counties in particular.
Governor Mills says restaurants in those three counties can move to reopen for outdoor dining service on Monday. She says her administration has already made permits available, and she encouraged municipalities in York, Cumberland, and Androscoggin counties to close streets to allow restaurants to expand outdoor seating, a step that Portland has already taken. Restaurants in 12 other Maine counties were allowed to reopen May 18th. Come Monday, restaurants in Penobscot County will be allowed to join them with restrictions.
I know this is not welcome news for those restaurants who've been preparing to fully reopen next week.
Nobody's taking the news very good at all.
The news came quickly for Bill Hurd, owner of the Chickadee of Lewiston. As of Wednesday afternoon, the sign outside of his restaurant announced that it was reopening for dine-in service on Monday and advised customers to make early reservations. Now, Hurd says he'll have to tell customers, as well as his 16 servers who have been furloughed for several weeks, that they have to wait.
I think it's horrible that she's given us a five-day notice. We're supposed to be able to open up next Monday, and today's Wednesday, telling us that it's going to be at least 2 more weeks. I do not understand it at all.
And Hurd says the option for outdoor dining is so far a no-go because the city of Lewiston won't allow him to put out picnic tables, even if spaced 6 feet apart. The news was also unwelcome for Jonathan West, owner of Jonathan's in Ogunquit, a fine dining restaurant that seats several hundred. West described the governor's announcement as infuriating. He had just removed half of his tables to accommodate distancing rules and had provided 8 hours of COVID training for his staff of 20. Now that's on hold. But West says he's committed to reopening when it's allowed.
We're here to stay. It's going to take more than the state of Maine and the government of the state of Maine and the COVID virus of 80 people dying in 4 months to put us down.
But not all restaurants in Cumberland, York, and Androscoggin counties were ready for dine-in service. Zach Tallon, general manager of Boda, says the Thai restaurant in Portland had already decided it wasn't safe to open Monday and would stick with offering takeout for now. Tallon noted the recent decision by Salvage Barbecue, also in Portland, to close because a staff member had been infected with COVID-19. He says the situation for each restaurant is different, but for Boda, safety was the primary concern.
As far as health over profit sort of viewpoint, I think that it is too soon. Just to think that we closed with only, one case in Maine, and now it's higher than ever. And to think that we're reopening now when it's, potentially still spreading so quickly, it just feels a little unsettling.
While Governor Mills decided to delay restaurant openings in the three counties hardest hit by COVID-19, the second phase of her economic restart plan will move forward on Monday. That means retail shops in all 16 counties can reopen with restrictions, as well as lodging in private and state campgrounds. In addition, the governor is allowing an increase of gatherings from 10 people to 50 people, including in houses of worship. Mills acknowledged that her administration had discussed postponing the loosening of gathering restrictions, but ultimately decided against it because of the safety restrictions put in place.
And we believe we can monitor the situation and that people will be safe.
The third stage of the governor's economic restart plan is scheduled for July 1st, but subject to change. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Maine Public's Patty White and Susan Sharon contributed to this story. Included in the federal government's array of pandemic relief aid programs is an automatic pause or forbearance on federal student loans. Borrowers won't have to make payments on those loans until after the end of September. But when the forbearance period ends, many will not be able to resume those payments. According to the Federal Office of Student Aid, more than 20% of federal loan borrowers are in default, and millions more are behind in their payments. The Pew Charitable Trust has issued a new report on the issues that student loan borrowers reported in focus groups held before the pandemic, including two in Portland. Sarah Saddlemeyer, Pew's Project Director for Student Borrower Success, told Maine Public's Nora Flaherty that there were three major issues that emerged from those sessions.
People really overwhelmingly wanted to be making payments on their loans, and when they couldn't, it was because they had all of these other financial obligations. So that was one. Another is that many folks struggled early in repayment. So right when they entered, there was a lot of confusion. And then a third one that I think is really important is that borrowers experienced or took advantage of shorter term programs. So deferments and forbearances, which provide access to shorter term pauses and often enrolled in these when they faced financial stress because the longer-term options were harder to enroll in and more complex. And so when people really needed to laser focus on what was happening in front of them, these longer-term, often potentially more beneficial programs were just not what they chose because of the complexity.
In the larger community of student loan recipients, the borrowers, how is Maine doing? How are we doing at repaying our loans? How many borrowers do we have? How much money do they borrow? And so forth.
Maine has just shy of 200,000 student loan borrowers. The United States of federal borrowers of federal loans. The United States has about 43 million. The average balance per borrower in Maine is just shy of $32,000. And for the United States, that's about $35,000. So the typical or average borrower in Maine has slightly less debt than in the United States. But we do see that about 13% of Maine borrowers are more than 90 days past due on their payments.
And what does that mean generally?
90 days is an important marker because it's when delinquencies are reported to the credit bureau.
It seems like there are complexities and issues with what's going on now in terms of the forbearance that's being extended to student loan borrowers right now. But when this is done, when these financial programs that are supposed to make people's lives a little easier during COVID-19, when those are over, what do you think needs to happen?
We're really hoping and advocating that some of the lessons that are learned during the pandemic and, you know, from the research we've done before the pandemic can help contribute and lead to longer term structural change. So how do we make the repayment system more flexible, more accessible to those struggling most with delinquency and default? Who are those borrowers? How do we identify them? And how do we just make the entire system more user-friendly?
Sarah Saddlemeyer is the director of the Pew Project on Student Borrower Success. Sarah, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
She was speaking with Maine Public's Nora Flaherty. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1, where the topic is why some people believe conspiracy theories, Ahmed Morin.